that as we spend our time in Luke chapter 10 today. Those of you who are younger disciples, we're going to pick up our children's church ministry later on this fall as we're giving our volunteers a chance to take some time off this summer. I've had a bit of a Martha week this week. It's been a great week. I spent all of my mornings this week with our confirmation camp young people, five of them, in which we went through three of the six chief articles of our faith. We spent review in one day, and then the other 4 days we moved through the six chief part. It was a great week. Thank you for your prayers. I'm going to be sharing with you tomorrow in the newsletter. They each wrote a thank you note to you, this congregation. Remember when someone's baptized? By the way, that question and answer of the Apostles' Creed, that's where that came from, was a baptismal celebration we had a few weeks ago, and I guess I pressed the wrong button to cut and paste and all that stuff. Well, anyway, when a child is baptized, a person is baptized, whatever age, we as a congregation promise to that person that we will provide for them opportunities to grow in their faith and then express that faith in the church and to the world. Whether they're baptized here or baptized somewhere else, we have that privilege as the body of Christ to be able to provide those opportunities. And you did this last week, and they want to say thank you. So I'll share those with you in the newsletter tomorrow. This Sunday, today, we continue with Jesus and the Apostle Luke in chapter 10. And in this Pentecost map, which we've been talking about, where Jesus is speaking with his disciples, he's teaching them, he's moving from Galilee through the area of Samaria, and he's moved now into this place that where he meets Martha and Mary. And along the way, what Jesus has been doing is he's been opening the truths of the kingdom, of eternity for us. He showed us that first Sunday, he showed us the first Sunday that we were in this word of the Lord, that he has come to change lives. That demon-possessed man, Jesus changed his life. And he does so by defeating our arch enemy, the devil, his demons, his horde, all of that which enslaves us. Jesus defeats those enemies so that our lives are changed. And we come to another opportunity today where that kingdom door is opened with Martha and Mary and an encounter with them. We pick it up in verse 38 as we hear. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So this encounter with Martha, Jesus has moved south from the north by the Sea of Galilee through Samaria, and now he's around the area of Jerusalem. And you can see in the brown map that Bethany lies about 2 miles or so east, southeast of Jerusalem. So if we had a paper map, this would be unfolded like this. If we were on our GPS, we'd press the button and it would take us to where we need to go. This is where Jesus is at. Luke doesn't specifically tell us that it's Bethany, but we know from the other Gospels, we know from where Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus lived that this is Bethany. Bethany was kind of like Jesus' Motel 6. You know, for Martha and Mary and Lazarus, it was to Jesus, we'll leave the light on. Whenever you're in town, whenever you're in the area, whenever you need a place to sleep, the door is always open. Come on in, Jesus, and find with us a place to lay your head, for you to get a meal, have your feet washed, take care of yourself in the mission and the ministry that God has given to you as his son. And now today, we find that Martha has invited Jesus into her home. And along with that, then, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus. Now, what's interesting about that for us, and this is where our lives begin to be intersected with Jesus, with Mary and Martha. First of all, in Jesus' time, a woman would never have invited a man into her home. That was unheard of. And to invite a rabbi, a teacher, this holy man perceived by the people, that was totally unheard of. Never would a woman invite a man into her home to be taught. To be taught was men's work in Jesus' day. But Jesus here is opening the doors, isn't he? He's opening the doors of eternity to show that I'm here for all people. So yes, Martha, I'll come into your home. But we know what happens there is Martha is distracted by all that needs to be done. But Mary, she takes her place at Jesus' feet and is listening to Jesus. So on the one hand, it would have been unheard of for a woman to invite a man, a teacher particularly, into her home. On the other hand, it would have been totally unheard of for a teacher, a rabbi, to teach a woman in their home. And the kingdom of heaven's doors are thrown open. This is why I've come, to invite all people to be free from their sins and to be brought into the kingdom of the Father, as I am that key, that way, that door, that life, the way into a relationship with your Heavenly Father for eternity. That door of everlasting life, Jesus flings open in this little town called Bethany. And he does it in the lives of Martha and Mary, as he's done for you, as he's done for me, as he continues to do for us, that we might have that place in the kingdom that he's bringing us into and walk then as disciples in those ways. Well, Martha had a sister called Mary, and here we have the account going on, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what Jesus said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. There was food to cook. There was the places to be set. There were all the things that needed to be picked up and cleaned up in order to host Jesus and have this meal with him in the house. But Mary, she didn't seem to be distracted by these preparations. She was listening at Jesus' feet. And if we go on, we see that Martha comes to Jesus and asks, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." If you have children, or you know of children, grandchildren, you know that this kind of dialogue takes place often in those kind of relationships, right? Sam, you set the table. And the first thing Sam does is he goes and grabs his sisters and wants them to help him. No, Anna and Ellie have other things to do. Sam, you set the table. But we want others to help us with these things to get them done in a faster way, maybe. And maybe Sam, like with Martha, is a little frustrated. Why am I having to do this? Jesus, tell my sister to get up off by your feet and come and help me do these things that need to be done. What we're told is that, and Luke relates this by the Spirit, is that as Mary is listening, it's an ongoing, continuous action. Mary kept on listening to what Jesus said. Despite all that was going around, all the distractions that she faced, she kept on listening. Again, our lives begin to intersect here with Martha and Mary. I find myself, and I'll speak to myself, you answer this yourself as well, but don't we find ourselves pausing often in listening to what Jesus says? I got a lot to do today, Lord. Press the pause button. I'll get to your word later. Ah, we're in a hurry. We'll press the pause button and we'll pray later as we give thanks to you, Lord. Ah, I'm really tired tonight, Lord. I don't want to spend time praying with my spouse. Press the pause button. And there's a myriad of other excuses that we can come up with. Many of you know that I'm a fan of the Tour de France. Guess what month it is, and guess what's going on right now? Yeah, the Tour de France. You knew that sometime in July I was going to work this in, right? Okay. Well, they're in the second week, and today will start Monday. No, Tuesday starts the third week because they finish a week from today. Well, the Tour de France, because this takes place in France, is aired different times here in our country. And the time that I can catch up with the highlights of the race is a time when it's very busy in my home. And I find myself wanting to watch the highlights and constantly having to pause, because something I've got to do or listen to or needs to get done. And I never really fully get the gist then of what that stage was like, and that's frustrating for me. Well, with our Heavenly Father, how frustrating it might be for him when we, who are called into his kingdom by his grace, he's given his one and only Son in this truth that defines us not just for the moment, but for eternity. And we keep hitting the pause button. Is that God-pleasing? Is that Christ-like? Is that showing myself as God has first loved me, that I love him first too? We deal with our old sinful human nature in this, don't we? It's easy to push the pause button and not keep on listening like Mary. But Martha's in this too, right? Distracted means really that Martha was being dragged around. That's literally what it means in the Greek language. Martha, by all of the things that she had to prepare, was dragged around. And I guess the point for you and me then would be also is I'm easily dragged around by the busyness of choices. You ever thought about it that way? The busyness of choices. I'm faced with all of these choices every day that keep me busy. And is that busyness in the kingdom, or is it simply because of what I think needs to get done, or what I want to do, or it's for my own pleasure? We're dragged around also, aren't we, by our sinfulness and that sinful nature that, in fact, would seek to drag us away from the truth. And this is what we wrestle with. Not much different than Martha or the opposite of Mary. At least I find this true in my life. Maybe you do too. Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but of one thing there is need. One thing. When Jesus would eat with his disciples, whether it was this last time in the upper room or throughout his ministry, his traveling, there were elements of Jesus eating with people, like now with Martha and Mary, that were important. It wasn't just the eating. But when Jesus sat down to eat with people in their homes, he taught them, like he did with Mary, and like he was wanting to do with Martha. And along with that was the very presence of Jesus with them. Now, out of all three of those, which ones do you think were the most important? First is the presence of Jesus, that he's there, and then that he's teaching. This eating stuff, that can come later. But this is what Jesus is getting to with Martha. One thing is important. You're worried about the preparation of all the food dishes and how all the dishes are going to get cleaned up and who's going to wash the dishes. Martha, you're distracted. You're being dragged around by these worries and concerns. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good portion. I'm here in your life. Listen to me. Let me share with you daily that good news. Like Mary, keep on listening that you might walk in my ways, the ways of my salvation. As Paul would write to the church in Colossae, the Lord has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight and without blemish and free from accusation. This is yours. This is what we possess. And I need to keep on listening. I want to keep on listening to this truth that defines me in a relationship in eternity, that defines me with those that I care for and love, that defines me in the body of Christ. This is the good news that we share, that Jesus has taken upon himself our sinfulness. When I press the pause button, I'm forgiven. When I'm dragged around, I'm forgiven. But in that forgiveness, there's also the opportunity to put aside that which has plagued me in the past. In fact, one of the truths that we talked about today, this last week in confirmation camp, was in our baptism, we are buried with Christ through the waters into his death. That means that our sinful human nature has been buried with Christ. It's dead to us. Past is gone. And a new person arises now. A new person that arises in the hope of the glory of Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection. A person that longs to keep on listening, to put aside those distractions of life. For Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her, Jesus said. Oh, that good portion. And Jesus isn't talking about the peach pie that's sitting in front of her, that she's about ready to eat. Jesus is talking about she's chosen me in my being in my presence now, despite all that's going on. She knows me as her Savior and Lord. And she's walking with me, that good portion. Joshua would say to the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No pause button, no distractions, no dragging around. We're going to be in the Lord and follow him. Yeah, we're going to stumble and fall at times, but we are forgiven. And we walk in those ways to the glory of his name. From Colossians again, going on what Paul wrote, continue then in your faith, established and firm. For this is where we are. This is who we are. We are established firm in the living faith in Jesus Christ. What does that look like? And how is that played out in our daily living? Where it's so easy to press the pause button, but to continue on in that active participation of the faith in Jesus Christ. This week in confirmation camp, we went through one of those six chief articles was the Ten Commandments and their meanings. And we worked through that as people of the faith. And one of the ways that we discovered that we keep on in what the Lord has called us into, like Mary, is coming from that third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. But it's not just that command. There's more in it that's unpacked for us. For instance, what this means is that we should fear. That is, hold in holy respect and awe. And love, that is, set apart from all else, the Lord God. He is the one we respect and hold in awe. And he is the one who is set apart as first in our lives. That we don't despise, then, preaching of his word, that is, attending public worship and engaging in his sacraments. These things which we know are part of the expression, the keeping on, listening in our faith walk. But hold the word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And while this might speak to the Sabbath day, that day of worship that the Lord calls his people together, we know this is true every day in our lives as well. Being in that word and in prayer, speaking and talking and encouraging with each other with these truths. Making this a regular part of our dialogue and our conversation. Keeping on, like Mary, in that word and the presence of the Lord. This is one of the most exciting commandments for these young people that we're with to move through. Because as we move through, even for us now too, this is how our faith is expressed in the body of Christ as the church. And I wish I could have a microphone, a recording, and for you to hear how they're expressing their longings. Oh, wow, yeah, I do want to be in worship. Yeah, I need to tell my mom and dad that we need to be there more often. It's one of the things I hear often. Yeah, that's good. They're working through it. And they're working through it not only for where they are, but preparation for where they're going to be one day as parents. It's good for us to work through this as well, to be reminded this is the ongoing, keep on, like Mary, that we're called into in our faith. And Paul would say to the Colossians, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. In other words, don't be dragged around. Or we could put it in another way, don't be a Martha, right? To be dragged around and distracted by all that we're faced in life, all of the busyness of choices. No, hold firm to the gospel to which you were planted. And to reflect that, there's another command that we moved through. I think my battery's going dead. There we go. Another commandment that we moved through this week, and that is the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Only the Lord. No other. No other distractions to be dragged around by. And what this means is that we should fear, again, hold in holy respect and awe, and love, that is, set apart all else, and trust, to cling to by faith. And all of this is in him, above all things, to honor him with our lives, to avoid what displeases him, to commit our lives completely to keeping and relying on him help in every need. To love the Lord your God. In other words, with all your heart and soul, and mind and strength. And of course, the reflection of that is to love your neighbor as yourself. But to have no other gods, distracted and dragged around, but Jesus Christ, Him only as my Lord. So Jesus spent this time in Bethany with Martha and with Mary. He sat at their table and he ate, but that really wasn't the priority. The priority was the presence that he had with them and the teaching that he provided. And for you and me, in this little dot on the map that Luke leads us to, the Spirit brings us to this place called Bethany on the map, not this Bethany necessarily, but we could include it too, is where Jesus meets us. Where Jesus meets us in the fellowship, in his teaching, and in his presence. Empowered and strengthened in the Lord that we might go forward in faithfulness, proclaiming him who has died and resurrected and loves us unto eternity, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior above all. To him be the glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this word that speaks to us today where we are many times, often, but what you have released us from our sinfulness and brought us now into the kingdom of the Son that you love, to be people like a Mary, ongoing in the listening of the truth of your word and reflecting that in our daily living. And to then not be like Martha, distracted and dragged around by all of the busyness of choices, but firm in that faith, grounded with you and you alone as our only God, our saving God, our Lord. To you be the praise and the glory and the honor for loving us first and allowing us to express, Lord, we love you too. In these ways, and so many more, in Jesus our Savior, in his name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto the glory of the Lord, who's alive in you, unto life eternal. Amen. Amen. As we have opportunity this day to